You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
How you Ooh. Feel? There's a little window into my soul this morning.
Yeah.
Hold on, Marvin Gaye. This is too good.
It's working on me. It's working.
Is it doing the trick?
It's working.
Welcome, it's working in, everyone.
Now from look. Beat number one.
Now look.
Marvin takes you.
I'm gonna tell you guys.
Sweeps you up. Yeah. Tell me what's going now, on in your life, because I need to know why you're playing that music.
Well, we have two factions of group of people. So we have regular listeners, and then we have probably first time listeners.
Do you think we have first time listeners?
So now if we have regular,
I've stumbled upon a podcast. I'm going to give this a shot.
Now if we have, well, they've already tuned out if that's the case. But regular listeners will know that I have a bit of a reputation of being creepy. Okay, so whatever. You know, it's starting to get a little hurtful, but that's fine. I embrace it to a certain extent. But this is episode 69.
Okay.
Now that's a sexual term of some kind. I've been told. Okay. I'm a kind of a novice in that area, but I've been told it's sexual in nature. 69. So I wanted to open with sexual healing.
Okay.
Okay, because you're a healer of spiritual words. You know, you just kind of heal the world when you talk to people.
I do the best I can
through the podcast. Okay. And then I'm creepy, and then it's episode 69. So what are we gonna do?
Sexual healing.
Obviously, yes. I had to do sexual healing.
Okay.
So. Episode 69.
Do you want to talk about your sex life today? Do you need some
It'd be a very short conversation. We have to fill an hour, so I don't think we should do that. Episode 69, Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald is here.
Andy is next to Gerald, across from
Andy
him.
Is
in the bosom of
the sexual healing fiasco.
I'm going to try to use as many words like that in this episode as possible. Words like bosom, I'm in the bosom of your home.
As many sexual puns as you can.
Exactly.
Right,
but respectable ones. Respectable ones.
I respect that. You see what I did there?
I see.
Two Peas on a Podcast. So look, it's been two weeks. I don't remember how to do this. What do we do?
We talk.
Well, we talk about things, right?
Is that hard for you?
A little bit.
I got to talk for an hour?
So we get together every week. We talk about what's going on in the world.
We do.
We were off last week. So yes. How has your last couple? We saw each other, but we didn't record a show. Mm-hmm. Some weird shit went on in my life in the last couple
weeks. Tell me what's going on in your
Well,
life.
My Mac broke down.
Your Mac?
My trusty Apple MacBook.
Yes.
Which I've had for, I don't know, 5-6 years.
But isn't that the thing? Macs and Apple products are not supposed to break. That's the
They're
whole
not.
Point.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole point.
That's the whole thing.
That's why you spend all the money.
So I was very upset about that. Yeah. Went storming into the Apple store, and then I sat there for 4 hours.
Did you?
Yeah, did
you give them a piece of your mind?
I did. It took me a while to get someone to give my piece of my mind to, but yes, I did eventually.
Yeah.
No, it was just it was a technical thing.
Were
but
you
it was,
honestly in there for 4 hours?
Yeah. Well, because I was a walk-in. I didn't make an appointment.
Ah.
If you make an appointment, supposedly it's a little bit quicker. Yeah. But
well, they're busy. I mean, come on.
You know,
it's
and
Apple.
And then they had to send it off. So I waited for 4 hours for them to basically tell me, oh, we can't fix it. We're going to send it to someone who can.
Yeah.
And they sent it off. It got fixed, but it took about a week. But
it's
so
Mac.
we couldn't
it's
record
Mac.
It.
This is your Mac. I'm pointing to it.
This is a Mac. New logic board. It's like new.
Okay.
So a lot of money later. But there it is. So we couldn't record because that's obviously the device I record on. So.
Yes.
We had to take a week off last week, but, you know, we had to let it simmer for episode 69. We had to get people ready for it.
There you go. See, they weren't ready.
You can't
ready.
Just throw out 69.
No.
You have to really get people ready for 69.
Yes,
am I right?
You gotta
you know, you don't show up
marinate.
And just do 69. Am I right?
You gotta warm the oven.
It takes a couple weeks to get
more puns. You gotta, you guys take a step into the pool.
It takes a couple weeks to get ready for 69.
Put your toes in first.
Absolutely. Yeah, wait, what?
Yeah, just gonna relax.
Don't put your toes in, brother. That's a weird thing. Don't do that.
You gotta relax and take it slow.
Okay, so. Thank you, Marvin Gaye, for getting everyone in the mood there.
Ice the cake.
What's going on? Well, you had a wedding. What else is going on?
Yeah, I did a wedding on Sunday. That was a lot of fun.
You got these cool. Now, look, we got a lot of local listeners, too.
Yes, we do.
Okay, you got these fireside chat things going on, okay?
Fireside chats?
That you're doing at the coffee shop.
Yes.
That sound very interesting to me.
Now, I mean, I speak at churches a lot, so I do that kind of like theological ministering kind of thing, and that's cool. That's cool for some people. Mm. But to reach out to the broader crowds and the audience and to have just, you know, down-to-earth conversations about God, spirituality, eternity, and just life.
Right.
A good friend of mine, Sheffield, Chef is what I call them. We're going to be doing these conversations twice a month at the Oasis
okay.
in Carrborough, at Car Mill in Carborough.
Now,
small town right next to
remind me, that's the coffee shop that plays only yes. Oasis music, correct? From the 90s?
Exactly.
Right, okay.
But it's going to be on the first and third Thursdays of every month, starting, I think, May 17th.
Wow.
It's going to be called Love God Now.
And that's in the evening.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock at
so
night.
So what's Chef's background? I mean, is he like a spiritual dude? Or?
Yeah, I mean, he's been all over the place. He's written a couple books, and okay. he's kind of a mystic. He's a really cool.
Did you guys meet each other through spirituality? Or
yes, I was the spiritual community I was an intern minister at. He
okay.
was a devotee there. He was a guy helping out there as well. So
did
we
tell him. Did you tell him to do a podcast with an idiot that has yeah. zero spiritual knowledge? You told him.
I told him I talked to a rock.
You told him that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do a podcast with my wall in my home.
He's like, I just talked to this guy.
That's about as much I get from that.
But I'm excited about
well,
it.
Well, that's cool, yeah. man. That's
you can always go to andyrossministry.com.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
the calendar, and it'll be up there. You know.
And you got a lot of cool stuff going on with social media, too, brother. I've been checking out. I admire your situation.
You do?
You got a lot of... You got to figure it out over there, brother.
I do the best I can.
You know, I got to get my shit together. I need you to...
I think you are more together than you think you are.
That's why I continue to do this. You inspire me to get my shit together, and okay. then you leave, and I just lay down for 8 hours. So it never works. All right, listen, my week was a little... Dude, I got to tell you something. I am obsessed. Now, again, this is more local news, although they are across the country. I want to okay. say there's like 15 or 20 of them.
Okay.
But the Alamo Drafthouse.
The Alamo Drafthouse.
Alamo Drafthouse and Cinema.
Yeah.
Now, for those...
Are they paying you to say this? Are you
absolutely,
plugging them?
Absolutely not.
We need to tell our listeners
absolutely
there's a
not.
Bias here.
I will do this for free. I'm going to tell you something. I am okay. obsessed with this place, brother.
Why? Tell me why
now,
you
I've only
like
been
so
once. Okay. Okay. but I... If it was, because I live in Durham, the Alamo's in Raleigh, kind of near downtown.
So the Alamo's in Texas.
All right, good one. Well done. it actually originated in Texas. That's where the name came from.
Really?
But,
okay.
But I think Austin was the first one. But anyway, we went to see A Quiet Place, which is the new suspense okay. kind of horror movie yeah. with Krasinski from The Office and Emily Blunt.
And you liked it?
It was great. Oh, yeah. Great film. 9 out of 10 is my score.
Just really? That good?
An A. Absolutely. Okay. Just amazing film. And my wife and I went to see it. But anyway, what they do is, and I know this isn't a new thing, okay, so forgive me, but it's new for me.
Okay.
So it's basically dinner and a movie all yeah. in one. Okay. okay. So you go in, you know, you buy your movie tickets in advance, so you actually have your seat in advance.
I love that.
So
I love that. I love having reserved seats.
You know, kind of like buying tickets to a concert yes. or whatever. Yeah. And you go in and you literally have a server. You're in their section. They wait on you. You know, you fill out the card of what you want to get to eat and drink. And they have a bar prior to going into the movie theater as well, kind of like in the lobby area that
okay.
has all these VHS tapes for rent.
What?
It's called Video Vortex.
Really?
But
VHS tapes?
I won't get too deep into it because this isn't a plug for Alamo Drafthouse, but I was obsessed, brother. I mean, it is like a new thing for me because we didn't have one in this area.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool, man. It's so vintage. Yeah. They have all these old school movie posters displayed. And like I said, they have VHS tapes all over the place. They have a vinyl record listening station.
A vinyl record listening station.
So you can put headphones on and listen to records over there.
Oh,
kind of like a jukebox, but yeah. it's, you know, personal to you. So it was really cool. So we did that.
Yeah, man.
And also,
there's nothing better than eating dinner and watching a movie.
I mean, I told my wife.
Eating and watching TV.
I told my wife, I'm like.
I love it. It's my favorite thing to do.
I told my wife, I'm like, there's no shot in hell I'm going to see a movie anywhere else ever again.
Ever.
Anytime I see.
You don't have food here? I can't have a beer? What is this place?
Anytime I see a movie to theater, I can fucking guarantee you I'm driving 30 minutes to see it there.
Okay. Well, yeah. Wonderful.
And then drinking a lot of beer and driving 30 minutes home. That's wow. how I do it, brother.
Safety.
Hey, I live on
safety
the edge.
First.
I live on the edge. Every morning I wake up, I'm living on the edge. So yeah. why not continue with my movie making things there? So that's my week.
Well,
so I saw A Quiet Place, and
okay,
we also
cool.
saw I, Tonya, which is the Tonya Harding film.
I watched that with my wife a couple weeks
ago.
You saw
it's good.
That's
good,
good,
right? It had kind of a Scorsese vibe, didn't it? It kind of felt
yes.
like a little Goodfellas-ish to me.
Yes, kind of had that interview.
I didn't expect
kind of
that.
Like, you know, that off-interviewing thing.
They're breaking the fourth
the cool
wall.
Thing is, the cool thing is, Tonya Harding is a part of my childhood and my past.
Yeah.
Like the whole Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing, you saw it happening. I mean, at the time, all I remember from that, almost like an OJ situation, is Tonya Harding's the bad guy. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
She's this one-dimensional evil character.
Yeah.
But to see
and this
into her life,
her.
To see into, exactly, the humanizer, yeah. to see into her life, to see what she went through, I mean, it's kind of cool to get into someone's perspective. We don't do that very much. We're going to talk about a couple stories today, but
yeah.
I always like to remind myself when we talk about stories that this is just a story. We don't really know what's going on until we get into their lives.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
We're going to talk a little bit about...
It's a good reminder.
We're going to talk a little bit about her here in a moment, actually.
Are
so, let's
Tonya
get fired
Harding.
Up, brother. Let's
fired up!
So, that was our week. Welcome back, brother. I'm so glad to have you here. We're 69 and we're doing it all. Okay, here we go. All right, so listen. Kendrick Lamar, we've talked about on the show in the past.
Yes, you love Kendrick Lamar.
Love him.
Your album of the year last year. Damn.
Damn, from 2017 was my best album of the year last year. I stand by that. Well, so do some other folks. So Kendrick Lamar has been awarded the Pulitzer Prize for music.
Pulitzer Prize.
Wait a minute. Is it Pulitzer or Pulitzer? It's Pulitzer, right?
Yeah, Pulitzer.
Pulitzer's not a thing.
Pulitzer?
Pulitzer Prize.
Yes.
That's prize. What I'm going to stick with Pulitzer. Okay. That's what I said.
Is it always for writing?
I think so, yeah. Lyrically.
Literature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lyrically, yeah.
Have many musicians gotten this in the past?
Well, they do one for music every year.
Okay.
But what's interesting is this is the first, I think they've only been doing it for not a long time. They've only been doing this for like 5-6 years.
Okay.
For music. But it's he's the first non-jazz or classical artist to win the award.
Oh, so typically, okay, wonderful.
Yeah, so it's usually like a composer. You know, yes. Like composing music and stuff like that.
I guess that's writing. Yeah, writing music.
So Kendrick Lamar, man. You said you're not super into him, but...
Not only the first, like, non-jazz or, you know, classical artist, but a hip-hop artist.
Yeah, dude.
That says a lot
and he's talking about some inner-city struggles.
Hip-hop has come, how far that voice... I mean, think about how proud Kendrick Lamar must be being recognized for being a voice.
Absolutely. I just hope he doesn't pop off into Starbucks anytime soon.
Oh. Exactly.
A little foreshadowing there. We'll get to that in a moment.
No, Kendrick. How about a latte first, Kendrick?
All right, so here we go. So we're talking about Tonya Harding a second ago. So I want to say we discussed this last year because we've been doing the show for a while now.
Have we?
So we're starting to recycle topics, but Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Okay. You said your wife watches it?
No.
My wife watches it. You don't watch it.
We don't watch it.
All right. Well,
I'm so sorry.
It should be called Dancing with the Who? this season. There's a couple.
That's wonderful.
Dancing with normal people on ABC.
Are they not stars? They're stars. Well, they have to be stars. Otherwise, the names alone.
So, over on ABC, they do Dancing with the Stars. Every year, they come out with a new season. This season is going to be, quote, Athletes Edition, unquote.
The Athletes Edition.
The cast has been announced. Now, look, dude, I know, I want to say there's 10 contestants.
Okay.
All right, so let's do a thing. So, okay. I've heard of 4.
Okay.
That I've literally, like, genuinely heard of.
Okay. Like, you could place them. Like, I know, like, this person did this, then. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the people. Okay. So count them on, as I go.
I'm not going to tell you till the end.
Yeah, but I'm saying count them on your toes, because you told us you're into toes. All right, ready? All right. Adam Rippon, an Olympic figure skater. Jamie Anderson, an Olympic loser. Finch Daigle, an Olympic snowboarder. Johnny Damon, a former Major League Baseball player. Josh Norman, an NFL cornerback, I'm sorry. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, an NBA superstar. Mira Nagasu, a figure skater. And Tonya Harding, a former figure skater.
Hey, I did pretty good.
How many of you heard of
2.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, Harding and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's it, right?
Obviously Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I've heard of Harding, Kareem. Josh Norman used to play for the Panthers, so that's probably the only reason I know him. And then Johnny Damon used to play for the Red Sox. That's the 4 I know.
Yeah, well done.
That's it, brother. But anyway, it's the Dancing with the Stars Athletes Edition. It's
when you said Olympic loser, I was like, that's harsh. Give her a break. I mean, she did the best she could.
I mean, hey, it's not her fault she didn't win gold. Well, maybe it is. She can just train harder. Sorry about that. Whatever your name is. Who are you again? Jamie Anderson.
But it's
apologize.
A loser.
Loser. Loser.
You're just an Olympic loser.
Look, we're just being loserly around here, okay? The all-athlete edition of Dancing with the Stars will premiere on April 30th. I will not fucking be watching that. My wife will.
Do you watch it? Do you ever watch it?
My wife does. She does this thing, man, like 2-3 hours. And they do it 2 nights a week. So it's like 4 hours, like, you know, and I'm trying to watch Modern Family and stuff on Netflix, you know, and she's like, I gotta watch Dancing with the Stars, you know? And it's just, sometimes I get into it.
It's 2 or 3 hours long?
Twice a week, 2 hours a week, yeah. And then every once in a while they have it's like a 3-hour special.
That's crazy. Yeah, how long does it go on?
I don't know how you can do that much dancing, to be honest with you.
That's a lot of dancing.
That's a lot of dancing, brother. All right, so another thing that we talk about frequently, because Hollywood can't stop, brother, is revivals.
Yes, revivals.
You know, like bringing back TV shows. Yeah, we had
Roseanne.
We had a very lengthy discussion on our last episode, actually, of Roseanne.
Roseanne,
which I've been enjoying. Which
yes, that's not. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's not a reboot. That's a revival.
Yeah,
because they're bringing the.
But that's an irregular. Well, I'm okay with Will and Grace too. But like we said about Will and Grace, it's not different. It's just 15 years later, same shit. Well, did you ever watch Mad About You?
My brother loved that show.
It's a good show.
I like Paul Reiser a lot.
I do too.
I've caught a couple.
I do too. I like Helen Hunt as well.
Was Paul Reiser in My Two Dads? In the '80s. Is that Paul Reiser?
Actually, I don't know. I can Google it. I don't know.
I think I used to watch My Two Dads when I was like really, really young.
My Two Dads. The two gay dudes, or is that the
No. It's the one was the business guy and the one was the artsy fartsy guy. And there's this girl who kind of showed up.
They found a kid on the corner or something.
They didn't know who the dad was. Oh. And so they both raced her. I want to say it was Paul Reiser.
Touching story. It may have been.
Yeah.
Was that the one with Balky? No, wait a minute. That's Perfect Strangers.
yeah, same thing though. Yeah.
Balky wasn't one of the two dads. Was Paul Reiser in Perfect Strangers? I'm just making up shit now.
No,
we're putting Paul Reiser in a lot of television programs.
Yeah.
Was Paul Reiser on Seinfeld? Can you remind me?
Are you going to see the new Infinity Wars with Paul Reiser?
I am.
He's playing.
He was also in A Quiet Place. He was one of the monsters. Paul Reiser all over the place, brother. He's a hardworking gentleman.
So what were you saying?
I don't know. I can't remember. Did I already say it? Mad about you,
there's
a revival in the works. There you go. Shocker. Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser have both closed on their deals with NBC. The revival is set to premiere next year. It will pick up where the happy couple left off 20 years ago.
Interesting.
Nearly 20 years ago.
You know, I'm a big Friends fan.
Yeah.
And I think
thought you were going to say you're friends with Paul Reiser.
I'm friends with Paul Reiser.
Let me text him to see if he was in
this
movie.
He's right here. Yeah, you should take
Were you on My Two Dads?
Next time your Mac break, he actually works at a Mac store down the street.
Oh, does he? He's doing that as well?
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money.
But Mad About You introduced a character named an absent-minded waitress starring Lisa Kudrow.
You're shitting me.
Yeah, and her name was Ursula. Now, when it came up with the show Friends, Phoebe was Ursula's twin sister, also played by Lisa Kudrow. So that universe kind of crossed over.
Why didn't they keep her Ursula, I wonder?
Yeah. But, well, I don't know why, because they wanted a new character. So Phoebe was the new character, but she still had a twin sister named Ursula. Who worked at, the restaurant that Helen Hunt's character always went to with her best friend.
I missed that part, and I got to apologize in full disclosure.
In the early stages of Friends, Helen Hunt and her friend actually showed up at the coffee shop, and they thought Phoebe was Ursula.
Nah, interesting.
Fascinating. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Twinning, bro. Well, Mad About You, I got to be honest, I never watched it. I mean, I've seen it.
I've seen an episode.
Yeah, I've seen it on reruns, but I don't know.
I wonder why they're bringing it back. Just because they can? I've said this before.
It was beloved.
I always need a reason.
Yeah.
We're going to bring it back because this story needs to be told, because this. But not just because, hey, we can make some more money.
Yeah.
We miss it.
Like Roseanne, it's the political climate or whatever.
Exactly.
And a middle America family, and kind of makes sense today's society. Yeah. And they can kind of take that angle.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I never
watched it. I mean, I like Paul Reiser. I like Helen Hunt.
You like Paul Reiser?
Yeah, he's good. He's a good dude. Yeah. He's a busy guy.
He plays Han Solo in the new Han Solo.
Does he? Wow. I thought he was playing Chewbacca. I can't believe that. He's doing both. double role. Paul Reiser, call us, brother. We got a spot for you right here on my dining room table. Empire Records, one of my favorite films. We actually just wrapped up.
Empire Records is a great movie. Wonderful movie.
Great movie, right?
Wonderful soundtrack.
Love that movie.
Maybe the best soundtrack of that grunge era.
Well,
you know what?
I'm going to tell you right now.
That's
what I was about to lead with is we just recorded our 90s soundtracks.
That's a good one.
And I don't want to give away any spoilers.
That's a good
because
one.
That's only for our patrons right now.
Oh, shh.
But Empire Records may have gotten a mention.
Empire Records. What a wonderful movie because it captures that grungy Seattle feeling. It's at a record store. It's not a teen movie. It's a post. They're like in their early 20s.
Yeah,
like
college years, I guess.
Yeah, they're like young people. But I mean, it's such a fun movie.
Rex Manning, brother.
Rex Manning Day. We can't. Not today.
So Empire
not on
Records.
Rex Manning Day.
So Empire Records is the latest movie to be headed to the Broadway stage as a musical.
What?
The project is aiming for Broadway with a targeted 2020 premiere.
Interesting.
Which will go along with the film's 25th anniversary. Can you believe it's been 25 years doing some movie?
You're old. Wow, you're old.
That's fucking amazing, brother. Yeah. I feel like I could die at any second when I read stuff like that. let's see. A director and additional creative team members will be announced at a later date. Here's some other films that have made the jump from the screen to the stage in recent years.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Groundhog Day, Frozen.
Great movie. Great. Frozen was already a musical. It was screaming to be.
Anastasia and Mean Girls. And then there's also a Beetlejuice one right around the corner this fall.
Beetlejuice, because it was filmed
with
Tim
that.
Burton,
yeah,
it has such a stagey feel to it.
I gotta be honest with you,
Mean Girls?
Mean Girls, I gotta be honest, I could see any Tim Burton Helm movie as a musical. I don't know why. He did Sweeney Todd, the film, which of course was a musical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe that's why.
Did you see Sweeney Todd?
I did, I loved it. I'm a huge Tim Burton fan, though. I'm a Tim Burton junkie.
It's weird to have Johnny Depp in a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, that's very strange. I want to say he only hasn't been in maybe two or three of his films. But anyway, Empire Records will be coming to Broadway next year, or in 2020, so get ready for that.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here's one that we talk about our regular listeners. They're going to appreciate me reporting on this and getting your reaction to this.
Oh, good. Okay, here we go.
I feel like you're going to basically blame me for the story. All right, here we go.
I don't blame you for anything.
I'm going to read the headline. Yeah. And then we'll go, okay? Because people may not have heard this. It didn't make huge news. Okay. I found this on like BuzzFeed or something like that.
Okay.
A man in Connecticut allegedly robbed a bank, all right, and then drove to Taylor Swift's house to impress her with the money that he had stolen.
A man? A man?
How you feel, brother?
Or Gerald?
Now, do you think that, what's the likelihood that I've reached out to this gentleman?
He stole money from a bank.
Yeah, brother.
And drove to Taylor Swift's house.
Yeah, I didn't tell you the whole thing yet.
Throw it over the fence.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He threw the money over the fence in her yard.
Taylor Swift needs the money?
I don't think so. He's just trying to impress her.
Impress her. Look at all this money I have. I didn't get arrested.
So, a Connecticut man, his name.
Sense. These Taylor Swift fans are crazy, Gerald.
That's what I heard.
They're crazy.
He's 26 years old. His name is Bruce Rowley. He's obsessed with Taylor Swift. He robbed a local bank of $1,600.
$1,600? That's all? Taylor Swift is like,
$1,600. And then he drove to her Rhode Island mansion and threw it over her fence in a bid to impress her.
She lives in Rhode Island?
Yeah, well, she has a mansion there. She lives all over the place, brother. She's a jet setter, man. She's everywhere. She's like Paul Reiser. Every time you look up, she's doing something. the police officers that arrested Rowley said, quote, it seemed he wanted to propose to her, but unfortunately she wasn't home. So instead, he threw some money over her fence to impress her when she came home. Rowley has been charged with second-degree robbery and fourth-degree larceny, according to the court records, and he is currently being held on a $100,000 bail. How you feel, brother?
$1,600.
Tell you what, I love Taylor, but I don't know if I'd do this. I need $1,600, bro. I wouldn't do it.
Oh, you would rob the bank, but you'd keep the $1,600.
Oh, I'd definitely rob the bank. I'd probably still drive by our house as well.
This way.
Very slowly. But it'd be in the bushes in some facet. But I wouldn't be giving the money away. I'd be keeping the money.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, she doesn't really need the money. It's just interesting how love makes us do.
She doesn't need the money, Andy,
and
but
desire.
She needs me, brother. She needs me. She
love
needs her fans.
And desire and insanity. It makes us do so many crazy things. Like, one, you're robbing a bank. Two, you're giving a multimillionaire money.
Yeah,
three,
don't,
you're
don't
thinking
do that.
That doing these things is going to somehow, she's going to come out and go, aw.
Yeah, don't do that.
Aw, you robbed a bank for
it's
me.
It's not going to seem.
$1,600.
Yeah, it's so like the guy who grabbed her ass when he took a picture. She's not going to like that, bro.
Yeah.
You know, do what I do and just talk about her very weirdly on a podcast.
This one's impressive.
That's got to get her attention.
This is impressing her.
I mean, I'm a fan, brother.
She might be listening right now going, aw, Gerald is
this
so
guy,
sweet.
He's got it together.
I bet.
Only if he'd driven by my house and threw $20
in
the yard.
$20.
He could be my guy. All right. Last thing.
You could take the $20 and fold it up like a little ring. We used to do that in high school. Elementary school.
Yeah.
You could throw the ring at it.
Yeah, I do that. What's the thing where you did with the, where you fold it up and you do the, you count and then you open up and see who you're going to marry and all that shit. What's that thing called? Whatever that thing is.
Yes. My daughters do it now.
Somebody tweet
one,
at us.
1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah. How many
five.
Kids you're going to have? What kind
six.
Of car you're going to have? Yeah. Exactly. Six kids with a Lamborghini is not very, that's not good.
Yeah.
Why are you going to get the car seat in there?
You can't.
Don't
it's a Lamborghini.
Do that. You should leave the kids at home.
Yeah, exactly. You have a Lamborghini.
What do I need kids for?
Exactly.
What do I need kids for? All right, last thing on the entertainment bookend. This was going to be our one deep topic for like a week. And then we shifted it because some big stuff happened in the Starbucks in Pennsylvania.
That's how news
but I just
works.
Wanna,
big news becomes small news.
So we only got a few minutes. So I just want to get your reaction so we can touch on it. Okay. Mark Zuckerberg.
Mr. Zuck.
The CEO, founder of Facebook.
Yes.
Obviously one of the most wealthy, successful technology giants in the world.
MySpace kind of was one of the first big social media sites, but Facebook really took it to the next level. I mean, because everything is on Facebook now.
Absolutely.
They've done such an amazing job connecting people.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's the center of the social media phenomenon.
It's a way of life for a lot of people. Yeah. Not trying to be funny, but you know, when we do the show here, I mean, that's where you get all your articles from me. Yeah. That's where I get all my news in terms of links to put them on the agenda.
I connect with a lot of people on Facebook.
So Mark Zuckerberg.
Mr. Mark. Marky Mark.
Had 2 days, which equated to about 10 hours of testimony to the U.S. Congress.
Okay.
in reaction to or in response to the data breach.
Okay.
That Facebook's kind of come under
fire. Can you tell us a little bit about the data breach very briefly? Basically what happened is someone within the company or someone within one of the advertisers of the company, someone connected to Facebook working with them,
right,
got a hold of some information and sold it to a company called Cambridge Analytica.
Exactly.
And that information was used to promote, I don't know Donald Trump specifically, but to promote a specific political bias.
During the election.
Now, right. I think the information that was leaked was very basic information, like profile information, meaning right. Your age, where you live. But of course, probably some of the things you like, quote, on Facebook. So
right.
I think
basically he's to make been a addressing long story
that,
short.
But they, I think the point was that Congress wants to see if Facebook as a company needs to be... what's the word I'm looking for?
Regulated.
Regulated. So that's why. That's correct. That's why they
brought it in. Thank you very much. That's basically summary. I mean, make a long story short. I mean, Facebook was selling our information, or our information got out to mm-hmm. Cambridge, and then they sold it. So we're not deep yet. Mm-hmm. So this is just your reaction.
Okay.
What'd you think of Zuckerberg's testimony? I sent you a couple of the highlights, if you will.
I think Zuckerberg did a very good job preparing. He's obviously a very, very, very smart guy. I was pretty impressed by him. He was really polite.
Yeah.
He answered the questions very directly. He didn't make up anything. When he didn't understand what they were talking about, when they asked, well, what about this, this, and this, he would say, well, I don't really know what you're referring to by this.
Right.
So he was very open. He was very honest. He was also open about the responsibility he took for making sure what happened with Cambridge Analytica doesn't happen again.
Right.
He's also very honest. It didn't seem that... I thought a lot of the questions coming from Congress really didn't have any pertinence to this topic of sharing information.
No.
A lot of it had to do with the fact that we're uncomfortable with how powerful you are. We're uncomfortable with the fact that Facebook has a monopoly over social media and so many people use it.
Right.
But you can't blame Zuckerberg for having a very popular platform.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And in the end, what impressed me the most is when they asked him, how would you feel about government regulations? And he said, I think there is a place for regulations, and I'd be happy to discuss that with you if they're properly used.
Right.
So he seemed to be very honest, very open, and very intelligent about the potential dangers of sharing information. But also, when you sign up for any of those things, you sign an agreement and share certain information. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think...
I was impressed.
I think that he did a good job.
I was impressed with him as well. What I thought was funny, though, is that the hearing kind of turned into him explaining the internet to old people.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they would ask really kind of stupid questions. That didn't have, like you said, didn't have anything to do with what they were talking about.
I found that.
And he would just be like, you know.
Most of them didn't have anything to do with what he was talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
About.
They'd just be like, you know, how do you, what was the one, you love the one where the guy like compared it to Chevy and Ford.
Let me talk about that. Okay, so I buy a Ford truck,
but I'm
not satisfied with my Ford truck.
Right.
Now, I can just turn it back in and I can get a Chevy or some other kind of American truck because I drive trucks. I like trucks.
Right.
If I'm not satisfied with Facebook, what's the options?
And Zuckerberg's like, well, there's a lot of options.
Basically, that's what he says. Like, you know what it is? Well, he said most people, and most people use like 7 to 10 different social apps.
Right.
Now, I understand what the guy was getting at. He's getting at the fact that, do you think you have a monopoly on this enterprise?
Right, but like you said, that's not Zuckerberg's fault.
Yeah, it's like,
that, you know, 200 million people subscribed to
this. Like, why'd you buy Instagram? Because Instagram has a great platform and I wanted it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think they did a great job.
And then another good one is he's like, how do you make money if Facebook's free? And he's like,
advertisers?
We have several advertisers.
We sell ads?
And every time he has that look on his face, every time he answers, like, are they really fucking asking me this?
Exactly.
I feel like this is too easy.
In the end.
But it's because of ads?
I think primarily one of the underlying parts of why Zuckerberg was there and why Facebook's under so much scrutiny is because how powerful social media has become.
Yeah.
Because of the election, because sharing, because most of the stuff that's shared on Facebook, we share. Like, you can find so much about someone's life now just by going to their Facebook profile. So we are opening ourselves and sharing our information on these things. So what happened with Cambridge Analytica? That is a breach of privacy, but it's been happening forever. People sell your information all the time. Right. Now, you give them the right to, typically, in the fine print. But when you...
Right.
My goodness. I gave money to a fireman once. And now I get phone calls every week by different people who want me to contribute.
Yeah, it's just the way the world works.
It's
especially in social media.
But I think there's a general kind of anxiety in the air.
Mm-hmm.
especially since the last election. Of course, we're not going to get deep into this right now. I know you don't want to. Well, right now, we don't have time. But there's a general anxiety in the air about the power of social media. And
yeah.
Do we need to regulate that power?
Well, we can actually, that might come up a little bit in our deep topic today because it went viral, you know, the video from that.
See, and exactly. I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. So, yeah, I think... what you were asking me to answer your question, I think Marky Mark, Mr. Z, he did a wonderful job. He was very polite. He never got upset. He never said, dude, he did a good job.
I agree with you. 100% I agree with you. I mirror what you said. I thought he did a great job as well. I think he's a genius. I did think it was weird that Paul Reiser was there, though. That was strange. He was in the background.
Excuse me. And now we'd like to turn to Congressman Paul Reiser.
It was very weird.
Paul Reiser, the congressman from... What would he be the congressman of?
I didn't expect that. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it takes place in New York. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick let's take a quick promo break, Andy. And we come back. Let's get into our one deep topic. We're running over already. So we will discuss the incident in the Philly Starbucks. It's a tough one, man. But we'll talk more about it when we come back. Stay tuned.
I'll be here.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are the Epic Film Guys, and we'd like just a moment of your time to talk about an extremely important event coming up this May.
Last year, we hosted the Live Stream for the Cure, a 12-hour live stream fundraiser where we raised $2,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
86 cents out of every dollar raised goes to research toward finding a cure.
And this year, we're aiming to smash that goal, and we need your help to do it.
Join us from May 18th through the 20th for 30 hours of amazing live stream content from us and a whole host of amazing podcasters who will be joining us to try to reach $5,000.
For more information, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Down. Love and lust. Down. All of us.
Give me a run for my money. There is nobody, no one to help run me.
Another world premiere.
So give me a run for my money. Sipping bubbly, feeling lovely. Living lovely.
Damn.
See? I told you, man. Hey.
Whose voice? Is that Kendrick Lamar's voice?
No, it's Zakara. Zakara is a R&B singer.
Really?
And Kendrick raps in it, yeah. It's called Love. I had to do Kendrick because we talked about this.
I love falsetto. That's right. One of the reasons I like Justin Timberlake, Michael Jackson so much. I love that soft falsetto.
Yeah.
He has a beautiful voice. Is it Kira?
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back.
Will you sing to me?
Absolutely not. You don't want me to do that, trust me. Two Peas on a Podcast. Welcome back. Episode 69. We got super weird and creepy in the beginning. And now we will get deep. And we'll talk about our one deep topic. So every week we have a one deep topic, which is, you know, arguably the biggest news story of the last week.
Yeah.
And like I said, we were going to discuss Zuckerberg's Congress hearing, but we were off for a couple weeks and then this happened. So there's kind of a larger discussion that can come from it.
And this discussion, and which I think is important. I think is very important.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
Even though it seems like the same old thing that's been happening, even though it seems that, I think it displays a different level of it.
Okay, cool.
Which I think is very interesting.
All right, well, we'll get into that then as well, and I'd love to hear your take on that. So just the title of the, the title of the One Deep Topic is basically the Philadelphia Starbucks racist mistake. That's how I labeled it here, because that's my view. It kind of encapsulates my view. Mm-hmm. But two black men were arrested last Thursday in a Philly Starbucks, a local Starbucks there. This is the short version of kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They were waiting on a friend to arrive, a third person, before they ordered. They were meeting someone there to talk about a real estate deal.
Okay.
Okay. And the gentleman that they were waiting on to meet was white. I don't know if that ties into anything you have to say about it, but just so everyone knows.
So two African-American gentlemen sitting in a Starbucks, hadn't ordered anything yet, waiting for a friend. Happens all the time.
Right.
I mean, especially you and I, the jobs we do.
I was just waiting for your coffee shop last week.
I meet people at coffee shops all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. The two men that were waiting, the two black men, they asked the manager if they could use the restroom, because in Philly, well, probably other cities as well, but they have a code.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it is in most inner city shops.
Right.
I mean, they just don't leave the restrooms open. That's just how it is.
Right.
So
they asked the manager, hey, can I get the code to use the restroom? Yeah. And the manager said, I'm sorry, you know, it's for paying customers only. So since they had not ordered anything, they didn't give them the code to the bathroom.
Okay.
So the two guys said, I guess they were okay with that. And they said, okay.
Okay, maybe a policy, I guess.
Yeah, which so far I'm not really, now knowing the outcome of this story, I think it's messed up.
Yes.
But at the time, I'm like, okay, all right. You just don't let anybody use the bathroom. I get it.
Yeah.
So they said, all right. And they went and sat back down to wait for their friend to show up, because they were planning on ordering.
Yeah.
But they wanted to wait for him to get there.
Yeah.
So I guess they were holding it. I guess they were going to use the bathroom after the order. I don't know.
Exactly.
But anyway, when they would not leave or when they went to sit back down, the manager became nervous and called the police.
Wait, did he ask the manager, he or she? I don't think
it was a woman. It's a woman.
Did she ask them to leave first?
Well, I think so, yes.
Like, oh, by the way, guys, can you leave?
Well, I don't know if she said leave, but she said, you know, if you're not going to, this is for paying customers only. Yeah. Kind of like gave the impression, like, if you're not going to buy anything, can you leave? So I don't know to what extent, like, her approach was.
Okay.
She definitely gave an insinuation that she wanted them to leave if they weren't going to buy anything. So they didn't.
I wonder in this situation if they said, no, we're waiting for someone. We're going to order something eventually.
Like, I don't know.
Like, we're going to get into this. The problem of these stories is we get such a broad view.
But they were eventually escorted out in handcuffs
by
Philadelphia police, and they ended up spending 8 hours.
Eight hours?
In jail.
Which is interestingly enough, the part of the story that's hardest for me is 8 hours in jail.
So go ahead before I have a few more topics that came, you know, as a result of course, this happening.
Yes.
So video was taken of it, of course. I mean, you can't, especially in a public place, you can't.
And this is the tie-in to the Zuckerberg situation is that
you can't
now
do,
everything.
Right.
I mean, because you're walking around with a camera on you all the time.
There's no way
social media is right there.
You know, a click away. There's just no way that it's something like this. And you've seen people blowing up at cashiers and retail establishments that we've talked about. Yeah. That. I mean, there's no way an escalation like on the airplanes. Yeah. Remember that?
For better or
is going
for
to
worse,
come out. So
it's now a part of our social atmosphere.
So what's your reaction to just the basic story that I just told?
I want to give two reactions that I think are both equally important. One, I try my very best to leave judgment aside in these situations.
Uh-huh.
Now, judgment's different than saying, I think something negative happened here. I think we need to work on bettering ourselves. And analysis of the situation, judgment is he or she is bad person, he or she is this, he or she is that. So I try to leave judgment aside. Here's why. In all of these situations, we first and foremost have to remember that we are getting a snapshot of what happened here. All we know about this story is the small bit that was filmed and the story that came out, fueled by, of course, centuries in this country of building and building and building of racial tension.
Uh-huh.
So first and foremost, I want to say that and remind us all that all we know about what happened here is the story.
Right.
Now, that being said, I can give you my impression based on the atmosphere of what I think.
Please
so
do.
That's the first part.
Please do.
What I think is interesting about this story is it begins to uncover and unravel the truth, the real truth of racial inequality in this country. The real truth of racial inequality in this country is not a bunch of angry white men with fire and pickets and things like that. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
The real truth of racial injustice is the unconscious bias that we walk around with every day. Not just racial bias, sexual orientation bias, gender bias, things like that. But this displays the fact that these two gentlemen were sitting. It appears to me from the story.
Yeah.
These two gentlemen were sitting. We're just sitting.
Yeah.
And because they made the woman nervous, she asked them to leave and escalated to calling the police. Why did she make them nervous? Partially, I assume, because they were African-American men.
Right, of course.
Now, that shows, it begins to uncover that we do, in this country, all over the world, but especially this country, we do hold with us an unconscious bias when it comes to race. We treat people of different races differently.
Yeah, of course.
Period.
Of course.
And, I mean, because you think about the situation.
And unconsciously.
And think about the situation in general. Exactly. And that's why I try to leave judgment aside, because I don't know where this manager was coming from. I don't know why she was nervous. I don't know what she's been through in her life. I mean, she's been the manager of the store so long. There could have been confrontations in the past that could have built to her bias, and that's fine. But the fact is, she treats them differently because of the way they look.
Yeah.
It seems to me. And I think we all do that. Now, all this was two men sitting. They were approached by the police. I don't think there was a violent dispute. They did have to spend 8 hours in jail.
No.
That's crazy. 8 hours in jail. That's crazy.
In fact, the two bystanders that were there, the witnesses and the video itself, these two men were the most quiet, peaceful. Yeah. Like, they didn't... The white gentleman had showed up at this point that they were waiting on.
Yeah.
He showed up while they were being arrested.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He showed up while they were being arrested, and he was animated. He was like, what did they do? Why are you...
They're meeting me here.
They're just waiting on me. So you're, you know, and he was kind of defending them, and he was being animated. But the two black men were seriously just... You saw the video.
Yeah.
But they just stood up, put their hands around their back. Yeah. And they're just like... And it's almost like sad, because it's almost like they're black. So it's almost like they... This is like... like what they expect.
That's a very
in our society.
Point.
They
That's
expect the cops to pull them over. Here we are. They expect. Here we go. You know, it's like they can't even sit in a car. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, dude, which infuriates me about it. Obviously, I'm white, but what infuriates me about it is this happens every day, 1,000 times a day, brother.
And that's the truth. Unconscious bias. This happens all the time.
A coffee shop is known as a meeting place, okay? Mm-hmm. I just met you at a coffee shop last week. Yeah. And now, we're two white dudes, but I waited for you to arrive, and we ordered.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, that if I had been a black guy, would I have to go through this?
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, the risk of me going through this would have been a lot higher because I was black.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
That's, I think...
like you said, because of the bias in the country.
I think that's something we have to remember. I had a very interesting conversation with my brother about this, and he's actually brought this up several times. I think it's a very, very important and pertinent point to this conversation is that it's not about being pulled over once because you look different. Yeah. It's not about not getting a job once because you look different. It's not about the manager at Starbucks even before the incident giving you an awkward look because you look different. It's the fact that this is your reality when you look that way.
Exactly.
It's the fact that everyone approaches you slightly differently because you look that way. And it's built into how we see reality. Unconscious bias just means that beneath the surface of unconscious just means I'm not consciously aware of it.
Right.
Meaning I don't sit there and go, oh, I'm looking at you different because you're an African American.
Right.
No, it means that beneath, you know, pre-consciousness, right beneath your active thinking, it changes the way you see
the
world.
So what do we do? I mean, I know this is years and years and years, but what do we,
do? The first step is examining it.
Because what you're saying is, and I agree, and I'll go ahead and throw myself in this category.
I got
no problem doing that. I mean, obviously I'm not racist, but I got no problem throwing myself into the bias, unconscious bias category. But it's a situation like where you see... you know, you're walking down the street and you see a African American with a hoodie walking towards you.
Yeah.
You subconsciously, unconsciously have a bias towards that interaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if it was you, the whitest guy on earth, walking towards me in a hoodie.
Hey, how you doing? You know, walking down the street.
It's a different bias or a different reaction. Yeah. So that's not because I'm racist. That's because the bias exists in our country.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So what do we do?
Now,
what's the situation?
The first step to any of these situations is conscious examination, is looking at yourself honestly and as objectively as possible and accepting the fact that the way you look at the world has been programmed over a lifetime of experience.
Right.
Meaning, putting it in a very blunt way, saying that I, Andy, am a part of the problem.
Yeah.
If I shift my action and attention, I can be part of the solution. How? What did Gandhi say? Be the change you want to see in the world. So I have to examine my biases first. Okay. So basically, I'm standing in a Starbucks. You know, I'm the manager. These two African Americans are sitting down. We're probably going to talk about the CEO's response. You'll get to that in a minute. But I'm looking at these gentlemen. I'm getting nervous. In that moment, and of course, there's a lot of things that help with this, like meditation, prayer, things like that. We can get that later. But in that moment, thinking, okay, I'm getting nervous here. I'm about to call the police. Stopping, pausing, and asking myself, why do I want to call the police? What are they actually doing? And see, taking that pause, and maybe you call the police anyway. Maybe it's just part of your protocol. But stopping and examining your thought process. And even after the fact, reflecting on it, saying, you know what? Do I view these two gentlemen differently because of their skin tone? Mm. And why is that?
Yeah.
Why is that? What in my experience of life has caused me to view them differently? So it begins, the first step is always honest examination. Know thyself. Know thyself.
Right.
Know what you're going through. And then begin to act differently. Begin to act. Start with compassion. I mean, don't put yourself in dangerous situations. You know, don't put yourself, if you're walking down a dark alley at night and three hooded men come at you with a knife, don't say, you know what? I'm going to accept you.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want to be biased.
That's a different situation than meeting someone in a coffee shop.
But I think it starts with, as a human being, as an individual, and as a culture, saying, you know what? Looking around and going, we're all part of the problem.
All right, so,
and we can all be part of the solution.
So the client's lawyer says it's not about the law, but it's about bias, which is what you're saying.
Yes, unconscious bias.
She says that there will never be a day when you get a call from a manager that there are two white women waiting in a Starbucks and they haven't ordered yet. Send help. That was her quote. You'll never hear that.
And that's real.
Because of the bias that exists. The police commissioner in Philadelphia defended the cops.
I wonder what the cops were thinking when they get there, because they have a certain protocol they have to follow. But
you
would think when they got there, they would ask the manager, okay, like, I can't arrest these gentlemen because they're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
Like, Right. It is a private establishment, and you're welcome to ask them to leave, and I can escort them out. I guess that's the issue, that I have to escort them out.
I don't know.
How do you deal with that as a police officer?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what the policy for loitering is.
Yeah.
I guess technically you could ask them to leave for loitering because they're not buying anything. But, I mean, that's a technicality.
And the CEO Starbucks do have certain policies in place.
Yeah, which is great. But, I mean, anyway you look at it, they weren't doing anything.
Exactly.
They were sitting there on their cell phones waiting for their friend to show up, and he showed up as they were getting arrested.
Yeah.
You know, he probably feels bad. Had he showed up 10 minutes earlier,
that would happen. Sorry. Yeah, of course he does.
So Starbucks is in damage control, obviously.
Obviously. The CEO's been all over the place.
CEO Kevin Johnson has released a public apology, and then he also followed that up with an apology video as well.
And we've talked about this guy before.
We have.
He's a pretty cool guy.
They're progressive, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because this is the one thing that, the second thing, that really kind of fires me up about this situation, is that Starbucks as a company, in my opinion, is getting too much heat for this. In my opinion.
Yes.
As a company as a whole. Because they are a very progressive company. They do a lot of community work. You know, they hire veterans. They obviously are equal opportunity employer. I don't know. I just feel like it's unfair to target the company for one employee's kind of bias, in my opinion. Yeah. So let's see. So the CEO, Kevin Johnson, wants to set up a meeting with the two men.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about this is I feel like if I were the CEO of a company that this happened to, this is what I would want to do. I would want to kind of understand, because he's white and I'm white. So I would want to kind of understand where the, quote, victims are coming from in this case.
Of course.
So that then I can use that.
Tell me your story. Like, I want to talk to the manager. I want to hear why she did.
So then,
and I want to talk to the gentleman, and I want you to tell me what happened here and what can we do to improve this.
Right, because then I could use that to, quote, train my employees better going forward. Because obviously they deal with millions and millions of people in the public every day from all races. I mean, you know, this could have been
I'm sure working at a coffee shop in inner city, I bet you do get a lot of unruly characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the inner city. You get all kind of walks of life. So there is, I mean, I used to live in Chicago, and it's interesting that there is a certain way of carrying yourself in an inner city.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different way. Like, I don't walk down the streets of Durham like I walk down the streets of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain way you carry yourself when you are surrounded. It's almost, I hate it, but it's almost offensive.
Right.
You know, you don't want to, like, you're almost on the lookout. Really quick story. When I first got to Chicago, when I first visited there the first time from North Carolina, I gave somebody $60 to shine my shoes.
$60?
I gave someone $60 to shine my shoes.
What kind of shoes were they?
No, I was a victim of a fraud. I was scammed.
Oh, scammed.
Yeah, I was scammed.
Okay.
Because a guy walked up to me and said, hey, let me talk to you for a minute, buddy. And of course, I talked to everyone. But over the period of living in Chicago for a long time, you begin to not look at people in the eye. But basically what I'm saying is, being in inner city, you do act a little bit differently.
Gotcha. So Kevin Johnson says, quote, I'd like to have a dialogue with them so that I can ensure that we have opportunity to really understand the situation and show some compassion and empathy for the experience they went through. Finally, as we're working to solve this, I'd like to invite them to join me in finding a constructive way to solve this issue going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Unquote. He also referred to the arrests as reprehensible and promised to take action so that it does not happen again. So, all right, so we talked about the actual incident itself, and obviously it's a result of racial bias. How do you feel? What's your impression on the backlash that Starbucks, not this manager, not this staff, not this store, but Starbucks as a company, which obviously we're talking one of the largest companies in the world, let alone in the country, getting the backlash? Because I don't like that. I feel like that's unfair, like I said before. What's your impression of that?
Well, because just like self-examination when it comes to unconscious bias, we also have to examine ourselves when it comes to anger, when it comes to retribution, when it comes to trying to get someone back, releasing anger when it comes to that these situations, it's not about Starbucks. It's not even about the one lady who made a huge error in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the anger that's building up over time. And as a community, we have to be very aware and very careful not to burn down the institutions that are a part of the problem and not the problem themselves. Starbucks is not the problem. The problem is the bias that is carried within our hearts and minds of the employees of Starbucks. Now, there are some companies that are run by bias and that become almost institutions of bias. I don't think Starbucks is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another video surfaced very recently of someone trying to film the same thing. Like, I didn't get a bathroom key. I didn't get a bathroom code. This white guy got a bathroom code.
Right, that one
I saw that one as well. Now, once again, it's hard to get into these situations because all we see is the video. And I mean, you never know, the white guy who got the code, he could be like, well, I mean, it could have been, well, I come in here every day. They know I'm going to order something because I'm a regular here. So, I mean, it could, yeah, you're right. It could have been because he's white and you're black. It could have been like that. Mm. But there's so many, there's so much going on here. So as far as Starbucks getting brunt of the fire, yeah. We have to be very careful that we need to attack the actual bias itself and not just the people who are expressing that.
My thing is, you're not going to be able to convince me that the CEO and the trainers for Starbucks are sitting down new employees and training them how to be racially biased. They're just not a part of their training program that says don't let black people use the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my point is the company as a whole is of course going to get the flack because who else are they going to
leash out their anger to? A lot of anger in this country that keeps building and building and building.
But I would just say look at the company's track record when it comes to community and
context.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. That's something that's unfortunate in the age of social media because like you said, they have to have somewhere to direct their anger.
We
joke about this all the time about all these boycotts. You know, I'm going to boycott this because you voted for Trump. I'm going to boycott this because you like abortion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to boycott Chick-fil-A because they don't like gay marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to boycott Starbucks.
I think part of the reason we do that is I think a lot of us feel so helpless. So when something happens that makes us angry, like, you know, these situations should make us angry. But when these situations happen, we feel so helpless and therefore we do what we can.
Yeah.
We feel like if I'm not going to Chick-fil-A because I want to support the rights of homosexuals, then I feel like I'm doing something by boycotting them.
So to wrap up on this issue, so are you satisfied with what you've heard from the CEO thus far?
Now, what I heard from the CEO, he did take personal responsibility. He seemed to invite responsibility, which I liked that part. It did seem very, very rehearsed what he was doing. It did seem that, you know, he had worked with his lawyers on a statement.
Well, of course.
And even when he was asked the question.
But, you know, to his credit, I felt like it was impressive that he did that because, you know, I've worked in corporations really most of my life.
Usually it's just
and
a statement.
You have to be very careful because if you accept blame, you're paying out, brother.
Yeah.
And he accepted blame publicly
on
video.
No matter what he said. Like, I could, like, when he was interviewed by Robin on, I guess it was
Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm. I thought he could have been a little more personal about his responses.
Yeah.
However, the crux of the issue is he did take the blame for
it. That's the thing, yeah.
He is, like, it's not, he didn't just release a statement through his lawyers.
Yeah.
He's going down there, he's talking to him. So I think he's doing as good of a job as he can.
Yeah, he's
right now.
Trying to be self aware, like you said.
Yeah.
And if he's self aware as a CEO, maybe that'll bleed
down
to the employees.
I think he actually used the term unconscious bias, meaning that when we implement these training programs, we need to be aware. And make that, I mean, why not make that part of the training? You know what? You work in a place that you're going to see a lot of people. Let's talk about unconscious bias. Let's talk about the way we treat our customers. And let's talk about assuming what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. All right, brother. So we got to wrap up, man. We're way over this week. Let's take a quick promo break, run a promo, come back. We'll wrap up with our pop culture stuff. Andy, sit tight.
I will.
The Via VHS podcast is changing lives. Here's some testimonials. Bill from Tallahassee, Florida says, I was able to quit my job and get a Ferrari, just like Magnum PI. Sue from San Diego, California says, wow, it really helped with my crippling depression. Thanks, Via VHS. And Tom from Charlotte, North Carolina says, it cured my genital warts. Wow. Listen to the Via VHS podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Welcome back in, Two Peas on a Podcast. Episode 69. Did I tell everybody that? 6-9. Are you? Are you the 6 or are you the 9?
Ooh.
You get to pick. You get to pick.
Okay.
What do you want to be? Top or bottom?
I'm active. I'll be 9.
So you're on the bottom then?
No, I thought the 6 is on the bottom.
You're the bottom, brother. No, 6 no. comes first. Hey, maybe I should be the 6 then. If 6 comes first, I should definitely
be the 6. Well, we're getting to it. Show me a picture. Show me an illustration.
I don't want to. I don't want to Google that. Believe me. All right. So let's get into our pop culture segment here, buddy. Oh, I got a couple kind of disgusting ones this week.
Really?
All right,
you think these are disgusting? You think these are disgusting.
I do. Do you use the hand dryers in public restrooms?
Yeah, of course.
Have you seen the new study that came out?
That study is old.
Well,
there's a new study, but I've heard this before.
All right, well, let me tell you.
Yes.
So have you heard of a thing called toilet plume? Have you heard of that? You know what that is? Toilet plume is when the bacteria and fecal matter kind of enter the air when you flush the toilet.
Yeah, because water swirls.
And that happens everywhere. You know, you've seen reports of people tell you to put your toothbrush, like, not near the toilet because it's going to get fecal matter on
it. Because of a toilet plume.
Yes, exactly. So, a new study has determined that a portion of toilet plume, which is basically fecal bacteria, is going into the hand dryers. And then when you go to dry your hands, it's blowing the fecal matter all over your hands. Hmm. How you feel? You feel good about that? Do you care? I mean, what do you?
I don't.
Are you a towel guy or are you an air guy?
Now, I typically use air. I mean, there's good and bad for both. I mean, towels waste paper.
That's it.
I mean, it takes a lot of trees to make paper towels.
That's it.
Rub our hands on basically dead trees. So,
well,
but then again, I actually had a good friend who actually works in health and nutrition.
Yeah.
Who said always use paper towels because they're more sanitary. Now, that being said, I think, and this is just me, I'm just being crazy here. Just let me be crazy for a minute.
Always.
I think we have an obsession with cleanliness in this country. I've actually not heard another study that said that the reason Americans get so sick when they travel is because we overly clean ourselves. We're always using the antibacterial hand stuff.
That's
We're
true.
Always using stuff.
You know, I so always
fact,
said...
You know what? It's,
I always said that these kids that...
Life is dirty, man.
That's what I always said. These life kids that get sick all the time, that have a weak immune system, it's because their parents don't expose them to things.
Exactly.
You know, they're always like in a bubble, like, you know, taking baths so, four times a day.
I mean, I just went to the bathroom. I expelled my waste?
Did you?
Yeah, I expelled my waste.
Oh, I thought you were sharing the story.
For someone to tell me, oh, there are waste particles in this bathroom, I'm like... Yeah, they're waste particles.
It's a bathroom. People
it's a
take
bathroom.
Shit yeah, I feel you.
Now, we can constantly improve the way that A, we use resources like paper towels, and B, the way we keep ourselves clean. That's great. But these studies never really worry me because I just assume on a daily basis that I'm going to come in contact with some fecal matter.
Wow. you're living on the edge of there, brother. Fecal matter just all over the place. Oh. Paul Reiser and fecal matter. Listen, are you a night owl or are you a morning person? I feel like you're a morning person. I get that impression from you.
I changed a lot. I used to. Yeah. I like mornings. I love early mornings.
Yeah.
I love early mornings and late nights for the same reason. I like quiet. I like solitude. I like nighttime because my children and my wife's asleep.
You're a deep guy,
so
brother.
That I can be. I like quiet.
You do. You just sit there and stare at nature.
Yes.
You're a deep guy,
man,
brother.
Just on the porch,
I can't.
Bro.
I can't
porch,
do it with
man,
you.
Relax.
You're a deep. Well,
so yeah, I like both, but talking, I also like getting a good night's sleep.
We're talking about these studies. So a new study has emerged that says night owls, which of course are people that stay up late. Mm-hmm. Are 10% more likely to die sooner. They did a report over of nearly...
Well, that makes sense because night owls probably to get less sleep.
Nearly half a million people, 500,000 people were
involved
rest, in this study.
Are you a night owl?
No. I get very tired in the evenings. I'm really neither of these. Yeah. I'm a mid-afternoon person.
I like midday.
Do a study about midday people.
Yes.
But if I had to pick, I would say I'm a morning person.
But the problem is like 3 or 4 days a week, I work at night. So I'm not getting home till 10:30.
That's the same thing here.
Like on Friday like night, I got home at 11:30.
You know when I'm a night owl?
When?
I'm forced to be a night owl when I close at my restaurant because
exactly.
I, like you, I get home 11, 12 o'clock
and then
at
you
night.
Stay up for an hour.
And I can't walk in the door and go to bed.
Because you're already
so
pumped.
I come in, I have, you know, 7-8 beers and I binge the show on
myself into a stupor
and, I binge,
and then I pass out in the backyard
and I binge
naked.
Binge a show on Netflix and then I go to bed at 5 in the morning, you know? But I don't really do that. I'm just kidding. But I do have to unwind when I get home. So I guess that's why I'm saying I'm both. You know, but
that
you
makes
know.
Sense. You need to sleep. Got to get plenty of sleep.
Well, anyway, if you're a night owl, you could possibly die. So there you go.
Okay.
Let's see.
This
how about
is a
this
very
though?
Very uplifting episode.
If you live in the town of Norway called Longyearbyen.
Longyearbyen.
Longyearbyen. I think I'm saying that right.
Longyearbyen.
Is a population of 2,000 people.
Okay.
It is illegal to die in that town.
Interesting. How all is right? that possible?
In the 1950s.
They're getting a lot of sleep, I guess.
Locals learned that bodies were not decomposing properly in the local cemetery. Oh. So they feared that that would lead to disease, and they outlawed dying in the town.
I wonder why they're not decomposing.
If you,
probably because they put them in metal boxes to keep them from decomposing.
If you know,
the weirdest part of burial. They put them in a box. Just put them in the ground, man.
If you know you are terminally ill, then you are sent. You are supposed to let them know, and you are sent to the mainland to live out the duration of your life.
You need to die in the mainland.
They do allow,
so it's an island.
Yeah, it's like on the coast of Norway. They do allow cremations, but not burials.
Okay.
Interesting.
That makes sense. Do you want to be buried or cremated, just in case you go tomorrow?
Well, I could go today, so I should probably tell you.
Yeah.
I want to be cremated.
Yeah,
but you know, my thing is, I think we've mentioned this on the show before. My thing is, I feel like I'd feel that. That's hot, brother.
I mean, you mean your body being burnt to ashes?
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty warm in there, brother. That's probably at least 1,000 degrees. I mean, it's up there. So, what do you think? What do you want to do?
I want to be burnt.
You probably want to be cremated and like thrown up into a fucking flock of doves or something. Right?
Yes.
Put me on the wing of a dove and fly me out of the fucking earth. Man. Yeah, I see.
Well,
you.
I mean, once my body's gone, I'm done with my body. So, I mean, I think the most economical thing to do, I think the best thing for the world is just to burn me.
You don't have a post-death fear there? Where you,
no.
I don't know. I mean, what's worse? So let's say you could feel it. Would you
being
want to
buried
be,
alive?
Would
or
you
burnt?
Want to be not alive? I'm not saying alive. Let's say you like for something in your mind would know what was going on. I don't know. Would you rather be burned or just die slowly over worms eating you over time in the dirt? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I guess get it
you're
over.
Not
with.
Alive.
Burn me.
You're not alive though.
Explain this to me. You're not alive. Tell me about death again. All right, I guess I'm confused.
Experience. I mean, of course, I'd rather.
No, you can't.
I'd rather be burnt alive than buried alive because I mean the burning.
Yeah, don't burn me alive.
The
bro.
Burning. I mean, you're talking about excruciating pain for what 5 minutes?
But you
burying alive, you're talking about days and weeks.
You think?
Yeah, just sitting there.
I guess. Or you're onto something there. All right. So look, we've talked about me being fat and all that. So Heinz.
I mean, I thought about it today. About you being fat. I haven't said anything about
so
it.
So we only got a couple more here. So Heinz Ketchup, you know, the famous ketchup company.
Delicious
there.
Heinz.
Condiments of all kinds. Well, they're in the process of combining Heinz mayonnaise and Heinz ketchup.
Ugh.
It's going to be called Mayo Chup into one bottle.
Yeah, do people do that? People do
now,
that.
Now, here's what I want to ask you.
People do that.
You're saying, you don't put mayonnaise and ketchup on your burger?
No.
Like, separately?
No.
What don't you like? Mayonnaise?
I don't like mayonnaise.
What's your problem, dude? Duke's mayonnaise is American, brother.
So
are
American.
You American?
You
show
don't
me
like
your,
Duke mayonnaise? You can get out.
Show me your passport. Do you not have a gun and eat mayonnaise? What the is wrong with you, brother?
Oh my goodness gracious.
This is America. Get your shit together, would you?
I should.
But I will tell you, I do love mayonnaise and ketchup on burger. So, well, I guess you're not a good test subject, though, because you don't eat mayonnaise.
I'm not a good test subject.
But do you like Thousand Island dressing?
No.
Do you like Big Macs?
No.
What do you like besides Paul Reiser? Give me one
like
thing
mustard,
you like.
I like ketchup. I like
all right, so what if you mix mustard and ketchup then? Because that's probably coming.
I like putting them on separately.
Now, see, that's your thing.
I don't want to.
We talked about the sliced of ketchup. We talked about that. Or that was with Dan. That was with Dan from Netflix as well. But we talked about the ketchup slices. So I think I say it. You need to figure it out, brother. Because look, here's the thing.
You had to give me.
Here's the thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gerald's final thought.
Here's the thing. I don't have a lot of time on my hands, brother. So if I can grab one bottle and squirt that shit right on there and then I'm done, that's better than grabbing two bottles. You got to put all that shit back in the fridge. You got to take it all out of the fridge. I can't double fist it. You know what I mean? I got to hold a burger.
So I think there's a problem. I think there's a problem. If you're getting exhausted by picking up two condiment bottles.
No, it's still a lot of work.
Then I think that's the problem. I think you don't need to look at combining condiment bottles. I think you need to work at
it. I need to figure out my life.
I think you need to look at walking around the block every once in a while. Just walk around the block.
That's a lot of work,
just walk
though.
Around the block.
But my thing is, if I could put mayonnaise and ketchup on at the same time, peanut butter and jelly.
Yes. I don't want to mix it. I just want to take my time. I'm going to put jelly on one side, peanut butter on the other side. I'm a man of tradition.
All right.
Do you get the peanut butter and jelly combination packs?
No, I have before, but not typically, no.
No, you don't. Because they're better apart.
If you say
and
so.
And you marry them
if
in
you
the
say
sandwich.
So. If you say so. All right, last one, okay. And then I got a loop for you. Okay. So I do Hulu.
Yes, I like Hulu.
Television programs.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm actually watching a show on Hulu.
Paper the Service.
Very exciting.
Handmaid's Tale?
No, my wife watches that. I'm watching The Path. Love The Path.
Oh, with the dude from Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
Aaron
so
Paul.
Good.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Good.
So here's the thing. So Hulu for television, obviously.
Obviously.
Spotify is a huge streaming music
company.
Not my
favorite. Pandora's my favorite.
I don't like Spotify either.
But Spotify's
my problem
good.
With Spotify is you can't play an individual song on demand. I don't like that.
Well, Spotify is mainly for users creating playlists
basically.
That you get to listen to.
Basically.
Pandora, I just love their algorithm for picking music. I think it's great.
Now listen, now Spotify Premium is $10 a month.
Okay.
Hulu, the limited Hulu, is $8 a month.
Yeah.
You can now get both bundled for $12.99 a month, so you're going to save $5 a month.
Now, what do you get with what do you get with Spotify Premium? Because I don't have Spotify Premium.
You just get Spotify with no ads.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you still can't listen to an album straight like Amazon Music.
No, you can, but you can't. You can listen to anything unlimited, but you can't listen to an individual song. So, like, if you looked up Kendrick Lamar's album, you would have to just play the album, and it would like play the songs for you. You couldn't skip to track 6 and play that one right away.
Interesting.
That's a weird. I don't know. That's what I don't like about Spotify. My daughter uses Spotify, and she makes playlists for me.
Because it's playlists, because like the Kendrick Lamar album is a playlist.
Right.
Someone made that album playlist.
So you can bundle these. I don't know. I feel like if it was like Netflix and Amazon, like you said.
Yes.
Of course, Amazon's their own thing, though.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
But here's your loop, brother. So
I just don't mind ads that much. Like, I don't pay for any of those.
Really?
Because Pandora, I mean, I get an ad every once in a while, but I mean, it's free.
I mean, it annoys me.
It's free.
It's free.
Of course, look at you. I just don't want, like, 2 seconds of someone telling me
I don't want to listen to the ads while I have
to go to the...
I don't want to listen to the ad while I have to do ketchup, mustard, and 2 bottles.
Exactly.
I
mean, you got life, man.
I got a lot of shit going on here,
brother. Being Gerald is exhausting.
Here's your loop. If you could combine 2 services, okay, it doesn't have to be entertainment necessarily, but it can be. Okay. If you could combine 2 services into one, what would it be? What would you bundle?
Ooh, what would I bundle? What would I bundle if I was combining 2 services in one? What are 2 things I have to do? There's not a lot of... What would you... You tell me your answer first.
Mine is...
You might have actually stumped me this time. I can't think of services that I like that.
Well, I did the first thing that comes to my mind. I did... if I could get my car payments and my insurance together. So
interesting.
Like, so like my insurance is part of my car
payment.
Yes. I don't have to worry about dealing with... The insurance company is all handled through the car payment.
Yeah, I guess that's a good idea. I guess utilities.
Because you know you do it
like
on your house.
Like water, electric, phone. If there was one company that I could pick to say, I want the best phone service. I want the best electronic. I want everything to be bundled as far as my utilities are concerned.
Right.
I guess that's a good idea.
So listen, brother. That's,
wow, you stumped me.
I didn't really know what to throw you for this week. But they do that with your house, though, because you have mortgage insurance.
Yeah.
It's tacked onto your mortgage payment. I don't know, just put my $20 a month of insurance on my car payment.
Here's what I want. I want a life payment. I want to make a payment that covers everything that I need in my life.
Okay, I think you're talking about the game of life, the board game.
That covers like phone, electricity, water, sewage, all that stuff in one payment.
Andy, I need you to do me a favor, brother. Episode 69, I need you to send us out on a high note.
Yes!
And give us your final thought, man.
The first step to any type of personal or social progress is self-examination. I think there's a Latin word for it. Know thyself, nostra something. But know yourself, examine yourself. Look at the way you look at the world. Understand that you are looking at the world through a lens. Examine that lens, challenge that lens, and constantly better yourself. If you examine who you are honestly, you will consciously better yourself every day.
There
just
it is, brother.
Knowing.
There
just
it is.
By knowing.
Andy.
Yeah.
Thank you for episode 69.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Let's get together next week. Let's do episode 70.
70?
For the people, brother. For the people.
70 for the people.
Check out all the information in the show notes, guys. Andy, until next week, I'll see you then.
I'll be here.
Thanks for the sexual healing, brother.
It's my pleasure.
Well, wasn't really sexual, but spiritual.
When I'm with you, it's always
discussion sexual. Of some kind. Thanks, brother.
My pleasure.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.